Blog Talk Radio.
What's up,
fellow Americans? It is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is Dr. Dre.
Yeah. Mr. Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we starting the show. Can't listen to these clowns.
Yes, sir.
America, welcome again. On a Monday night. Day before Valentine's Day, I hope you guys are showing some love to your significant others out there. We are officially talking sports with the 12th man. I am your host, Dre, joined by my fellow co-host, JQ and Rob Ford. And without further ado, let's introduce my fellas here. We're not getting cut. A lot of fun. We're still, like, not getting technical fouls. We're trying to keep it, you know, we're not going to be like DeMarcus or anything like that. We're going to keep things good, man. So, anyway.
Let's take the first
Buddy Hill.
Buddy Hill, bro.
Yeah. We got Draymond Green Jr.
He was clowning. It's all good. Let's check in with JQ. How are you feeling this evening, sir?
I'm good, man. I can't complain. Just ready to talk to sports with my homeboys. And chill out. I'm into the fantasy basketball right now. I don't think I can get to scratch that itch until we get some more fantasy football going.
Well, it's happening soon, man. Football is right around the corner. Obviously, baseball's coming. We got spring training to talk about, too. But we got a lot of things happening as well, too. Let's check in with my other co-host, Rob Ford. How are you feeling this evening, Rob?
Man, doing great. Ready to talk sports with my favorite two brothers here tonight. Let's make it do what it do.
Let's do that. Without further ado, you want to call in with your boys as we talk
about what's that,
about
JQ?
What's
that, JQ? Go ahead.
Okay, I got to keep an eye. You got to keep an eye on him, Rob. He's trying to be like DeMarcus, trying to get some quick shots in there. Anyway, let's talk about this, man. Let's talk about my boy here. If you want to reach out to us, the number to always call is 424-243-9519. If you want to follow us on Twitter, we are at the number 12. THMAN Sports. And last but not least, you want to follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/12man sports, or if you type in Falcon Sports for the 12th man, you will find us in that arena as well. Gentlemen, and Rob, thank you for putting together these topics as always. And let's kick it right off here. And I guess either Rob's trying to torture me or whatever, but, you know, I'm finished with my Suicide Watch, but apparently he likes bringing up Patriots topics again. So we're going to keep talking Patriots here.
It's not that serious,
here,
bro.
So.
Don't commit suicide on us, man. Come on.
I'm not going to commit suicide, man. You know, that was last week, but now everything is good, man. I'm in a better place. So, you know, let's just keep this going here. Let's talk about this, and we'll talk. If you have another topic next week, if Tom, we're going to talk. But anyway, I guess, Rob, yeah, how many more years will Tom Brady play? So I'm going to kick it to you because you have a love relationship with Tom Brady. So how many years is he going to play, man?
Well, I'm not going to say I have a love relationship with Tom Brady. I don't think I hate him as much as the two of you all do, though. But
yes, Lord.
But
I say yes, Lord.
Was that JQ?
Yes, Lord. Yeah, I hate that dude.
I don't know if Andre hated him as much as you did, but I think he does now, though, after last Sunday. So he's right up there with him right now. But I'm going to say four more years. I think he's got another 4 years in him left to play. And I think he's got at least three of those 4 years playing at a high level, too. And I think, you know, he's going to continue to take care of his body just from an eating and workout standpoint. And I think Belichick may even do some Greg Popovich on him, too. I think they're going to find games to rest him and help prolong his career a little bit as well. I mean, obviously, it kind of helped that he was suspended the first four games this past season. But I think Bill Belichick is going to do some Greg Popovich-isms on him and rest him a little bit here a few games a season to keep him, you know, help him prolong his career a little bit, the same way Popovich has done with Duncan, Tony Parker, and Manu Ginobili as well. So I think that's going to help him going forward as well.
Go ahead, JT.
Slow down there, Rod. I don't think you can do that in the NFL because it's only 16 games. And that one seed is so important, getting that bye and getting, you know, the road to the playoffs coming through your stadium. I think it's hard to take it to that level unless you're just playing like the Bengals or, you know, somebody in Brown, somebody awful, where you can do that. But I agree
with
you. But
keep in mind, the Patriots are going to win with Jacoby Brissett at quarterback a game or two.
That first one I thought of Houston wasn't really a murderer's role they played. So, I mean, yeah, they could pick and choose their spots, but football is just such a different animal that, you know, you don't have the back-to-backs and whatnot where you can kind of get away with those things because every game is so important in the NFL where they're important in the NBA, but not as much because there's so many of them. That's the only point about it. But I agree. I think Tom Brady, we talked about it before, I think Tom Brady is now, what, 39? And I think he can play till he's 43, and I said that before. That's four more years, and I agree with Rob. A good two to three of those at an elite level. He doesn't have high caliber weapons in the sense that you think about. You know, he doesn't have a Julio or AJ or somebody like that, but he has a good system and guys that fit that system. You know, Hogan just out of nowhere and helping him win the Super Bowl. So I think, you know, he's got 4 years left, and he's got, and I agree, I think he's got a good 2 to 3 years of elite play, and it hates me to say it. It burns my tongue and my lips to say that about Tom Brady. But the truth is the truth. I just don't think you can knock it. I mean, unless he just falls off a cliff, which we've seen happen with guys when they get over 40. But like Bob said, again, you know, the worst thing they say he puts in his body is avocado ice cream, you know, like, who does that? And if he continues that up,
who eats
that's
avocado
the worst thing
ice
you put in your body. And that's the worst thing that you put in your body is avocado ice cream. That means you are mechanical and, you know, maniacal about what you're doing with your regimen in terms of eating and working out. And if you can keep that up and not just fall off that cliff, I mean, I don't see why not.
Wow, good call. You know, I agree with both of you guys. I'm going to take it a different level. I think that, you know, like you said, Rob, I think that Bill Belichick's going to do everything he can to kind of, you know, not necessarily rest him, but kind of do everything in his power to kind of make him kind of conserve him. When I think about conserving him, I'm thinking like maybe like changing up his style to make it more of a ground game. Like he's going to have like a stronger running attack to that effect, something to that.
They're doing
I think
it
he's
going
to do something like that. They are, you know, but, you know, they're definitely going to, you know, make it more of an emphasis on that too. You know, make Tom Brady have a couple throws, build up that defense, if you will, and just different ways how you can kind of prolong his career, man, because we're going to talk about this as well, because when I look at Tom Brady, I think he's going to have a better run than maybe a Peyton Manning. Not a knock on Peyton by any means, but just, you know, Peyton got towards his end, his arm wasn't that strong, and you know, he's still trying to make certain throws. He was clearly struggling. But I think Bill Belichick has a better way of kind of conserving Tom Brady. But you know, it's like some Papa John's. There's different ways how Bill Belichick can kind of maximize, kind of squeeze every little piece out of he can with Tom. And, you know, I don't think there'll be another quarterback like Tom Brady just yet. So, you know, Bill Belichick will develop other guys to kind of fill the stead. But we'll see that going. But that's kind of where I think is going to happen as well. So he'll get, I'd say, about 4 years as well. And we'll go from there, too. So, yeah. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, you bring up a good point because they've been quietly doing that here down the back stretch. You think about a LeGarrette Blount and a power, you know, running attack. You think about a Corey Dillon and a power running attack. Like, they've been sprinkling that in, you know, to kind of save him and he gets those short throws. So that's a good point that you brought up in terms of the running game. I think they'll do that as well. You can still be elite and not throw for 4,500 yards. He could be elite with a good ground game and throw for 4,041, you know what I mean, or 3,900, and still be an elite quarterback. So that's a fantastic point. I think they're very adaptable. That's one thing you got to give him and Belichick credit for is they adapt to the situation game to game, week to week, in terms of who they're playing and what they need to do.
Good call.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
You know, the thing about Peyton Manning, you got to realize, too, those neck injuries, you know, derailed him, you know, in the latter part of his career, too. And Tom Brady, you know, he missed one season with that a torn ACL injury. But other than that, you know, he hasn't had the neck and the back injuries and things of that nature has really derailed him,
like it did
Peyton Manning toward the latter part of his career. So if he can stay away from those kind of injuries and they protect him, like you all just mentioned, yeah, he could very easily play another 4 years.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Good call. All right, let's keep on with the second topic. Rob Ford, is Dak Prescott a top five QB in the NFL today?
No, not at all. Not yet. I mean, does he have the potential? Possibly. I'm not sure if he'll ever be a top five quarterback in the NFL, but obviously the system that they had for him and Zeke Elliott and that offensive line was perfect for them this season. And obviously the disappointing loss to Green Bay at home in the divisional round of the playoffs. But, no, I don't see him as a top-five quarterback. And I don't know if I ever see him as a top-five quarterback. Maybe he'll prove me wrong. But top 10, yes. You know, the right system in place like they had this season, he could still definitely be very effective. And if they're not turning the ball over and playing solid defense and controlling the clock, they'll be a tough team to beat with him as quarterback. There's no doubt about it. But I can't put him in the top five. Even if you compare him to Russell Wilson, I don't know if I can even put Russell Wilson yet as a top five quarterback in the league. So I can't. He's definitely not top five now, and I'm not sure if he has the potential to even be top five in the league ever.
Yeah, JQ.
No, he's not top five quarterback. Cause I would say a Rodgers, a Brady, a Big Ben, a Rivers, and a Breeze. I think that's a top five right there. It's going to be tough to track to get into, and I don't think he's anywhere near those guys' stratosphere at this point. He's a good quarterback, and the thing about it, and I just named those names, can he be a top-five quarterback? I think he can be if Dallas keeps that commitment to that offensive line in that run game, and you don't ask him. He doesn't have to be, you know, a total gunslinger to be a top-five quarterback. He can be in there and have a good running game and play action pass, and, you know, you get, you know, 5, 6, 4 years out of days, you get, you know, a lot of receivers in there to help him out. But when you look at that list I just talked about, Brady, 39, Big Ben in his 30s, Rivers getting up there, Breeze at, 38 or something like that. Like, those guys are starting to get up there. So he could potentially get into that vacuum that they're going to leave when they retire, when they just can't play anymore. But today, mm-hmm. no, not yet. But he can get there.
I agree. Good call. All right, gentlemen, let's keep it going here. We're doing such a good job here. Once again, Rob is trying to, like, torture us talking about Cowboys and Patriots here. But, again, let's keep this moving here.
I don't like cowgirls either, so if I'm torturing you guys, talking about them, I'm torturing myself. Hey, you know, but you got to talk about the hot topics. That's what we get paid to do here, talking sports with a 12th man.
You know, I'm just messing with you on that, right? You know, just kind of keeping it moving here. But all good. This is actually pretty interesting, and this is a great, great point. Tony Romo will shake up the NFL draft. Tell us what you think about this, Rob. What do you mean about this particular point?
Well, obviously, you know, there are some teams that need a quarterback here, and so will a team take a chance on Tony Romo and bypass a quarterback in the draft? Personally, Tony Romo we just talked about Peyton Manning with the neck injuries. Tony Romo has had an abundance of back injuries. Personally, if I was a general manager team, would I take a chance on Tony Romo for the right price? Would I trade a draft pick for him? No. Would I sign him if the Cowboys cut him and see if he can help you while you develop a young quarterback? Yes. I would take, so I wouldn't bypass a quarterback just because I have Tony Romo on my team. But, you know, we all know how these things work, and there are going to be some teams that will bypass a quarterback because they have Tony Romo in the draft. So it's going to be very interesting to see how this all shakes out. Obviously, if a team, you know, we're looking at right now the two teams as front runners for Tony Romo are the Denver Broncos and the Houston Texans. Now, both of those two teams are drafting in the latter part of the draft. And from a Texans standpoint, with them drafting 25, I think they would definitely bypass a quarterback at 25 if they was to get Romo. And I would say the same for the Denver Broncos drafting at 20. So I think those are the two teams would definitely bypass a quarterback at those particular spots if they were to get Romo. Any of these teams in the higher part of the draft, like the 49ers, the Bears, the Jets, if they were to get Tony Romo, in my opinion, I think they would still have to draft a quarterback here. They can't pass him up, especially if you have Trubisky or Kaiser still available to you in that part of the draft. I think you would still have to take one of those two guys.
Shake you.
Yeah, and I think if you're Houston, you're probably not going to get one of those three guys in Kaiser and Watson and Trubisky at 23 or 25, whatever they are. So they definitely do it. And I've talked about Houston, and I think they're just a solid quarterback play away from making a really big jump. And they got re-signed Boye at cornerback, but I think they are pretty solid. But another thing that we talked about is when you talk about Denver, okay, now you drafted Paxton Lynch last year. What do you do with Trevor Siemian? Do you use him as, you know, trade bait if you're Denver, if you're going to sign Romo? And once he gets cut, because I think he's going to get cut by Dallas. And so that also puts other quarterbacks, needy teams, in the play. Do they think they can work with Trevor Siemian like a Cleveland Browns, like a New York Jets? So that also affects how they would draft if, you know, if Romo goes there, he kind of kicks a domino effect in there. And the same thing with the Jets. They got decisions to make with Geno and Petty, and they got Hackenberg, who they don't think is going to make it. What if Romo goes there? What if they trade for Romo? You know, and then they end up letting Geno go, or do we trade Hackenberg? Somebody think they can fix him. And then the other one, the Bills are really in on Tony Romo, and I think they would have to trade for him to control his rights. I don't think Romo would go there outright if he got cut. But say they trade for him, then you let Tyrod Taylor go. Well, I've read stories about, you know, Cleveland liking Tyrod Taylor. Cleveland signed Tyrod Taylor. They don't maybe take a quarterback because Tyrod is only like 26, 27 or something like that. So it's a lot of moving parts with Tony Romo, depending on where he goes, and depends on whether he gets released and goes and has his choice, or whether he gets traded for and he no longer has that choice.
Good call, man. Wow. Wow. Like I said, you know, I think it's, you know, pretty pivotal too as far as what happened. That's a great call, JQ, on the Jets, because maybe they're wrong, or maybe they're not talking a lot because they're trying to keep everything quiet. But then, like you said, you know, if you're Cleveland, do you want to keep recycling quarterbacks? I mean, like I said, I mean, do you just kind of start fresh? It's a great conversation starter, too. You talked about Denver. You talked about Houston. There's a couple teams out there that, you know, they're one or two quarterbacks or one or two players you think are making that big move. So, like we talked about, whoever kind of gets Tony Romo, we'll kind of know as far as what's happening as far as draft direction. And maybe teams that want to give it their hand, as we know, because during the draft time, everyone's trying to, like, do smoke and mirrors and whatever. So I guess the team that's going to – I think it's going to be an interesting thing that's going to happen once the team makes that commitment. Then, like you said, Rob, there's going to be dominoes starting to drop, and then we'll kind of get an idea as far as what's happening, because we know we're on the street, possibly with Kyle Shanahan taking the job. You know, Shaw may go there, but they're still going to draft the quarterback. Cleveland, they got to get a quarterback no matter what. So we'll see what's kind of happening with that. We definitely know that Romo's not going to Cleveland, but still – something could happen from that, you know, vantage point as well, too. Maybe there's a quarterback that may surprise us to make a trade. But we'll see, you know. And speaking of the draft, let's go to the updated mock. And again, Rob, you're on cue here. Let's talk about your updated mock draft and go right into that, sir.
Well, right now I still have Myles Garrett, number one, to Cleveland, even though he's playing at Jerry Jones, finding a way to trade up. But I have Garrett, number one, to Cleveland. San Francisco, Mitch Trubisky, still a quarterback there at the number two spot for Kyle Shanahan. I have DeShone Kizer going to Chicago at number three. Obviously, Jay Cutler's days is number as well in Cleveland. You know, right now the Jets look like
Chicago,
the front-running team to acquire him. So don't expect Cutler to be back with the Bears. Jacksonville, got big defensive lineman Jonathan Allen from Alabama at number four. Number five, Jamal Adams, safety from LSU. Number six, I got the Jets taking Marshawn Lattimore, cornerback, Ohio State. And back-to-back Ohio State picks, Malik Hooker, safety from Ohio State, going to the Los Angeles Chargers. I got to use saying that. Carolina pick. I don't want to see this happen. The Leonard Fournette going to Carolina, number eight, having to face him twice a year. But right now, I either see him going to the Jets at six or eight at Carolina. So right now I have him at eight. Your Bengals, Reuben Foster, All-American linebacker from Alabama at number nine. Number 10, Solomon Thomas, defensive end, Stanford. And New Orleans, that'll take a Marlon Humphrey, cornerback from Alabama, although JQ mentioned Bouye. But you got a guy with a name of Bouye, you need to be playing in New Orleans with a French last name. I'm just saying. So Saints need to find a way to get him from Houston. And I'm going to stop at number 12 for now. Right now, I have the Browns taking Deshaun Watson at number 12. I'll go ahead and give Andre a little love. Give him talk about his Falcons at 31. I have taken Caleb Brantley, defensive tackle from Florida.
Yeah, I think about that too. I think that's a good move too. Go ahead. What are you about to say, JQ?
I really want the Bengals to take Solomon Thomas. I'm not sold on Robin Ruben Foster. I'm not sold on those Alabama linebackers in the pros. That's just me. For that to drop. Outside of that, if I'm Cleveland, you just talked about it, Dre. I'm going to take the quarterback at 1 and then take the next available at 10 or now wherever they are.
It's not going to happen.
They have to,
not gonna happen.
They have to get a quarterback. They have to get a quarterback. Mm-hmm. And I think when you go through this combine process, they start interviewing these guys, they're going to rise even more than they've already risen now. And that always happens. And if I'm Cleveland, you've got to stop the bleeding. I don't feel like you can gamble and somebody trades up or they make a run with those quarterback needy teams in front of you and then you left there still without a quarterback when you had the number one pick in the draft. I just don't know how they do that. And I hear what you're saying about Garrett. I think Garrett is going to be is a little oversold personally, but that's just me. I don't know if he's going to come in and give you 16 sacks a year. I just don't think he's going to do it. You go number one defensive end, you got to get me like 13 to 16 sacks off the shoot. You number one overall defensive end. You got to do that. Is he going to do that in Cleveland? I don't think so. If I'm Cleveland, I think real hard about taking whatever quarterback I fall in love with, number one, and letting the chips fall what they make. Because if you don't have a quarterback, you don't have a chance.
Rob, what's your count? Do you have a counter to that? Or that's just kind of like – I know like we keep talking about taking the best player available. So, but you have a huge hole at quarterback. You know. But go ahead, Rob. I'll let you kind of comment on that. Sorry.
And you've had it for 15, 20 years.
Well, yeah, they're going to take a quarterback in this draft. I don't think there's any question about it. Whether they take him at 1, whether they take it at 12, or whether they move up into the latter part of the first round from their second round draft pick, they will take a quarterback in this draft. And it will either be at 1, it will either be at 12, or like I said, it will either be with that first, second round pick. They will get a quarterback in this draft. And it's going to come down to Hugh Jackson, if he falls in love with one versus Myles Garrett, if he's going to take one at one or not. And that's definitely not out of the realm of possibilities. You know, quarterbacks will go higher than the draft grade. Happens every year.
Yep.
Obviously, right now, Garrett is by far the number one draft player in this draft as we speak. When you talk about pass rush ability and his lean, getting around the edge, obviously, you talk about the four most important positions in football. Obviously, it's somebody that can rush the passer, somebody that can protect the passer, somebody that can cover, and, of course, the quarterback himself as being the most important position. So it's going to come down to if you have a guy that's got close to the grade of Myles Garrett or not, and that's definitely not out of the possibility. But right now, we're still a few months away from the draft. But as of February 13th, we got Myles Garrett at number one.
Hope those three guys, if you're Cleveland, don't turn out to be stars because you feel like Winston's going to be good and you missed on him. And if you got quarterback need teams in front of you. If you get a quarterback run, all three of those guys get gone before 12. If Mahomes, if you draft back into the, trade up into the first round, get Mahomes in the latter part of the first round, is he going to be that guy? If you're Cleveland, can you do it another year in a row where one of those three guys pans out and you could have taken him because you got the number one overall pick in the draft. You had your pick of anybody out there. If one of those three guys produces, we're gonna talk about him again. We're all going to be putting memes out there about them trying to get the dude throwing a brick through the window. Like, I mean, you got to get the quarterback. Is what I'm saying. It's my point. You got to
you remember
gotta
that.
Have it. I do. You got to you gotta have it.
Yep.
That's my only thing. It's a gamble that I don't know if you can afford to take if you're Cleveland and you've been quarterback needy for, 15 years. You've seen the jersey with all the quarterback names going down the bottom of it. Like, you've had a chance to stop it. You missed last year on Wentz. Now you're going to miss again this year, with the number one overall pick. It's just a gamble I don't know if they can afford to take right now.
Yeah.
You know,
and right now I have taken Watson at 12. That's a little bit of a reach. They could probably get him in the 20s. But so, yeah, we'll wait and see, you know, how things shakes out. But I, obviously the big miss, Winston, they didn't have a shot to get because Tampa took him at one. But last year, Carson Wentz, obviously I think this turned out to be a big miss for the Cleveland Browns. That's somebody, obviously hindsight is 20/20, but that's a guy that the Cleveland Browns I think is going to be slapping themselves for a long time for not taking it unless they can fix it this year. But we've said it since the Cleveland Browns has re-entered the NFL in 1998, they've had 1,000,002 quarterbacks, and that's not an exaggeration. And, so I'm not exaggerating, America. So they've been trying. And then, you know, they had all those people at the Cleveland Cavaliers championship party. It seemed like they should be able to find one person in that crowd that could be a quarterback in the NFL.
Still showing shots.
You know, it's crazy, too, because you think about this, and I agree with you, you know, a little bit, too, JQ, because – not a little bit. I agree with you a lot because you got to get your guy, but maybe they're gun-shy because they just keep messing up, and then whenever they have it, they have the Carson Wentz, they still mess it up, so you can't win for losing. So you got to keep drafting until you get your guy. I mean, you can't be like, well, you know, we're going to trade out of it or somebody else make a decision because I can see it actually happen again where – somebody may blow them away with an offer. They may trade out of that pick. You never know. They're like, all right, let's trade down. Because they need players, and I don't know what the right answer is. That's why, you know, I guess we'll talk about if you are the owner, if you are the Cleveland Browns GM, what are you doing? Because no matter what you decide to do, you know, you're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't, you know. So, you know, anyway, that's why it's going to be interesting to say the least. We'll talk a little bit more about that. But I definitely think that JQ, they may be a little gun shy, but you got to get your guy, man. I mean, no ifs, ands, or buts about it, man. I mean, because I mean, Myles Garrett may be the best, but you need a quarterback. Unless somehow, some way, something happens where you're making a trade or you're going to get a quarterback that we don't know about, that you're sort of, you know, unless you're going to do Kirk Cousins. I mean, I don't even know. But you know what I'm saying? You got to figure out a way to get a quarterback. Bottom line.
That's what I'm saying.
Anyway.
Yep, or they, you know, they come out of this draft with a guy that can come in and be a quarterback, and you get a guy that can rush the passer. I mean, you're coming out pretty golden if you're Cleveland Browns, and if you're a Cincinnati Bengals fan like JQ, he's going to be hating that for years to come.
Yep.
Shout out to my cousin, Mario. he's a huge Cleveland Browns fan. I always feel sorry for him, but I will say this. If
Pelicans
they keep messing up. Good job. If they keep messing up, maybe, guys, we got to talk about their – and I'll talk about the Cleveland Browns. You got to talk about their scouting department, man, because you talk about people missing. Somebody ain't telling the truth, bro. Because if you keep missing, you know, I'm not listening to that scout. I'm like, yo, come on, bro. Really? You done sold me a bill of goods. Hey, let's trade Julio Jones. He's not going to be good. You know, that's craziness.
Yeah.
I will say this. I know we're going to talk about corners, Rob, but – there's a little word on the street that since the Falcons hired Steve Sarkisian, whatever, I'm a butcher's name for the past couple of years, I'll get it right. They're looking at O.J. Howard, at tight end, man, at Alabama, man. They're going to go back to the well because they got Julio. I think that's an interesting pick. I know we're looking at, you know, possibly
that's
defense,
a great pick.
But
you're
about
to trade up
kind
to get him at
the
moment.
You think so? Sometimes I've seen him going in 31, but hey, good call too. So that's something that.
Yeah, I got him going 21 at Detroit Lions right now.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, I keep hearing a little. You know, they're trying to throw that out there too because we may go a different direction. You know, as far as with free agency getting a guard and then, you know, maybe getting, you know, your boy from Arizona, Calais Campbell. But I just keep hearing a couple things too about. Don't be shocked if that ever happens. But you know. Because they're going to try to go the well twice after getting Julio. They're kind of primed to go that direction too, man. So, anyway, that's my little 2 cents that I'm hearing over here. So, anyway.
Okay.
We'll get back to one last 2 cents on the Cleveland Browns.
Sure.
Obviously, if you don't get Trubisky or Deshaun Kizer, if you can get Deshaun Watson to come in and be a solid QB like a Russell Wilson or a Dak Prescott, that would be a win for the Browns. And he's probably not going to be a top five quarterback in the league, but if they can come in and get somebody that can stabilize that offense and get Myles Garrett, that would be a win for the Cleveland Browns. It's somewhat of a gamble, but that would be a win if they can somehow pull that off too.
What are you saying,
stop
JQ?
Stop talking that talk into existence. Stop. I want to stop saying that to existence. You stop it.
But let me talk about this, guys. If Dak Prescott was drafted by Cleveland, he wouldn't be the same player. He wouldn't have a better team because the way that the Cowboys are built is conducive to what Dak was able to do. So, I mean, as much as I'm a fan, I think if Cleveland got lucky and drafted Dak, there's no telling he would have been as good as he was with Dallas, you know, because of the structure and little things like that too. So,
right.
You know, even sometimes you win if you don't, you know. So, still, you got to build a team. You need players, bottom line. So, you know, we'll see.
I don't want to see Deshaun Watson twice a year. Go to the next
same
time.
Way why I don't see one Leonard Fournette twice a year.
Right.
Top
stop
five
talking that up.
In this year's draft, Rob. Kick it off, bro.
I'm sorry? We're talking corners?
Corners, yep.
All right. Let's start off with Marshawn Lattimore, cornerback from Ohio State. Has it all very polished. I have him as number one corner in the draft. Number two, Marlon Humphrey from Alabama. Obviously, he struggled toward the end of the season with some deep balls, but the scouts love his size, his skills, his athletic ability. Has the potential to remove the safety once he gets into the NFL. Tez Tabor from Florida. I tell you what, he's probably the most talented corner of all of these corners that's in the draft. Obviously, he hot-dogged his way through Florida, so it's cost him a little bit in his draft position. But when you talk about pure athletic ability, he is the guy. Right now I have him going to 17 to the Washington Redskins. Number four, Dory Jackson, cornerback from USC. This is a guy that can add some versatility to you. He can cover, but he can also return kicks too. So if you're hurting in the return game, it's going to boost his value a little bit more. Right now I have him going 18 to the Tennessee, about to say the Volunteers, Tennessee Titans. Number five, Sidney Jones, cornerback from Washington. Most scouts would like for him to add about another 10 to 15 pounds, but as far as athletic ability and cover ability, he has the twos as well. They would like to see him add a little bit more strength and muscle to his frame. I have him going number 22 to Miami in the first round. So corner is one of the strongest positions in this year's draft, so it's a very deep draft for corners. Overall, this is I guess if you look at it from an overall standpoint, this is a down year for the NFL draft, but corner is not a down year for corners. It's a very strong draft for corners.
You talk about that, JQ.
Yeah, I think Tabor is the best. And I have Baltimore in there as well. I can't quibble with the other two. I like Sutton from Tennessee. He's been hurt. He's been injured. But I like me a battle-tested cornerback playing in that SEC. If he can stay healthy, I think somebody's going to get a steal. And back to Ohio State. And I had questions about him coming to this year, but he reminds me a lot of Leon Hall, who played for Cincinnati out of Michigan, and Kerryon Conley. He's very good against the run as well, and he's one of those bigger. He's not overly athletic, but, you know, he uses good instinct. He uses good a good approach to the game to make up for a lack of athleticism. I think he's going to, like to Rob's point, it's so deep in cornerbacks, I think he's going to get somebody some good value there. And not be a superstar kind of flash player, but just one of those solid 8 to 10 year cornerbacks in the league. And you're like, dang, he's been here 8 years, and he's just quietly solid. He's not great. He's not bad. He's just solid. So, you know, those are the five that I have written down.
And just a comment about Kerryon Conley. I have him going 47 in the second round to the Ravens. So, like I said, I have him going to the Ravens. Definitely need some corner help. So I have him going 47 to the Baltimore Ravens in the second round. Some other corners, too. Tre'Davious White from LSU, have him going to Dallas at 28. Quincy Wilson, another guy from Florida, have him going 29 to Green Bay. So that's you're talking about seven cornerbacks right now. I have him going in the first round. And another guy who kind of dropped this year, Desmond King, cornerback from Iowa, have him going 44 to Buffalo. He was a guy going into the season, was expected to be a top five, top ten pick. Kind of fell off a little bit. But he could also be a potential steal in his draft as well.
Hey, did that kid from Colorado, did he not declare? Because I know he had a lot of buzz coming out. I can't remember his name. African dude that plays from Colorado on the outside. I just his name escapes me. But he was having – he had a first-round grade, but I don't know if he came out. I think he might have been a junior.
He's from Colorado?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. It's like Chibali Owazi or something like that?
Something like that.
I'm probably butchering. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I got you. I think he's out there. Yeah, I'll look and see. Rob, really quick, what about your thoughts on
Good call.
What about your guy from did you say anything about your guy from escaping me too? There's a quarterback, I think he's from Washington. I can't think of his name off the top of my head.
Sidney Jones.
Give me a quick second. Yeah, did you mention him? You said him, right?
Yeah, okay, I had him as my number five corner. I have him going
five,
at the moment.
Okay, cool. Number five.
I have him going
to Miami
at 22.
That's one thing. Okay, cool. I thought he's gonna be a player too, man. That's one of the guys I'll keep an eye on too. But anyway, good. I'll make sure I caught that as well. Okay, cool. Like it. Okay, so with that, the top five good corners in that draft. We love where we're going with that too. I guess let's talk about this too. So we're loving the fact that we're gonna talk about some offseason needs here, and I guess we're gonna pick some different teams here. And Rob, we're right on the cusp here. I guess we're gonna start with your Saints here, and we'll kind of talk about what happened there. So. We're going to talk about Saints, Cardinals, Colts, Eagles, and Ravens. Sorry, JQ. Kick it off, Rob, with your Saints there.
Well, obviously, if you look at the offensive side of the ball for the Saints, you got to improve the interior guard position. You cut Jahri Evans, and you brought him back, and actually he had a very solid year this past year, better than the previous two seasons. But probably him being healthy was a good help for that. So we still don't know how many more years he's got left in the tank. So you're going to have to improve that guard position on the offensive line if you're the Saints here. And you can probably even look at some depth at the running back position too from the offensive standpoint. Now, defense, we can be here all night talking about all the defensive needs the Saints here have. But I'll just try to make it quick.
Please no.
Obviously, you need another pass rusher to offset some of the pressure off of Cam Jordan. Obviously, Sheldon Rankins, he missed like the first eight games of the season, but he played phenomenally well in the eight games he did play at the end of the year. So that's a bright spot you're looking for going forward. And Nick Fairley was a bright spot too, so the Saints got to do whatever they can to re-sign him. You can almost use the linebacker at every linebacker position for the Saints. And obviously, you can use a corner. You can use two corners and two safeties if you look at our secondary. So it's a lot of weaknesses on that side of the football. So obviously that's where you're going to have to spend most of your attention here in the offseason is fixing that defense. Yards, they were the number one offense in the league in yardage again. So as long as you got Peyton and Breeze, you're going to be up there. And in points scored, they were number two behind the Falcons. So from that side of the football, I think you're still going to be straight. But you got to find a way to fix that defense.
Sean Payton tried to do the defense is the best defense is a better offense. So, but that's not working out for him by any means. But it's all good as well. Do you have anything to comment on that, JQ?
No, I'm ready not. You know better than I do.
There it is. Let's talk about the Cardinals. Do you want to talk about this, JQ, or your call, man? You want to kick it to Rob? You know, whatever you want to do, man.
From watching them, it's amazing that David Johnson had the year that he had, over 1,000 yards rushing, almost 1,000 yards receiving, because that offensive line is not very good in Arizona, and they must address it. And they've got to get a long-time quarterback. I mean, Carson Palmer's coming back, but, he's basically year to year, and I really think after this year, win or lose, he's probably done. You got to find a quarterback, and that's another team we didn't talk about earlier is the Cardinals that's going to have to get a quarterback in this draft, I think. And then on the defensive side of the ball, I think they want to retire Chandler Jones. If not, you got to find a defensive end. They got to find some way to get Nietzsche to play ball. Is the reason he failed, and they picked him, I think, like 27th or something in the draft last year. And he just hasn't panned out. So if he's not going to be that guy on the defensive end and on the interior, you need that as well. And they need some cornerback help. They got Patrick Peterson, but they don't have a whole lot else behind him, I don't think. Matthew has missed some time, in that secondary as well. So they got to address that secondary as well. The Cardinals aren't really far away, but they definitely have some pieces they have to fill in this offseason.
I'm going to let Rob continue to wrap this up too, but I will say for the Cardinals, good points on that. I'm going to say they need help, and this is going to sound weird. They need help on the wide receiver side because, Larry Bichelle is getting older. Great, great player. You lost Michael Floyd. You got Brown, John Brown, Steve, you got some weapons, but I still think you need – we'll see. I mean, I'm not completely sold on that, too. They need quarterback help, I think Rob made a point in that I think that I want to say that the Cardinals were on the wish list for Tony Romo. So that makes – I mean, that's not a good enough thing too, but I'm saying they got to get some depth too for that too. But I'll let Rob finish up too. That's my thoughts as far as them too. So go ahead, Rob. Your thoughts, man.
Mm-hmm. Well, you all hit on both of the two most important areas I think they need to address. Number one is offensive line, as JQ mentioned as well. So that's got to be a main focus. I mean, Carson Palmer, is with him at his age, he got beat up pretty good this past season. They have to fix the offensive line. And as Andre mentioned, my second most important position is wide receiver. Just as he mentioned, you let Floyd go, and obviously Fitzgerald still productive, but he's not as good as he once was. And so how much longer is he going to play and put up those kind of numbers? So you got to give Palmer some help out there on a perimeter as well. And then when you talk about the quarterback position, you want to look at somebody that you can possibly develop. Obviously, they're going to go into next season with Carson Palmer as their starter, so there's no question about that. So the quarterback position will be either to sign a young veteran as they can develop, or to see if they can get somebody in the second, third, or fourth rounder who they think has a lot of potential going forward.
We got about 4 minutes to go here. Let's talk about the Colts and their need, Rob.
Oh, the Colts, the first thing I'll be looking at for the Colts is you got to give Andrew Luck some help. And there's two ways you're going to have to get him some help. You got to find a running back that can help relieve some pressure off of him. So you're going to need a running back. Frank Gore is up in age. Obviously, if a Delvin Cook falls to them down at 14,
ooh,
I think that would be a dream come true
for
the Colts if they can get somebody like that. And right now, I think it will be available for them to possibly take him at 14. So that will be somebody that I think that can help him in both the running and the passing game. And another thing is a quarterback's best friend is an offensive line. So those are two things that they have to fix from an offensive standpoint. You got to get yourself a running back, and you got to get yourself an offensive line to help Andrew Luck and to prolong his career as well. And defensively, the Colts are kind of like the Saints. They almost need every level of defense. So they have to improve on that side of the football as well. Their cornerback play was a little bit better, but they still need help on every level of that defense as well. So they obviously need to – they have a lot to address. And Andrew Luck is keeping them keeping them competitive, I would say. But this roster needs a lot of help. If you can't get a Delvin Cook, somebody like a Derek Barnett, defensive end from Tennessee, could also help them on that side of the football too.
Go ahead, Jake. You got about 20 seconds here for the 2 minute. Yeah, go ahead.
All of that. No, all of that. I couldn't agree more. Every point he talked about is what the Colts need. They got a good quarterback and they got a good wide receiving core, and that's where they stop for the most part. They need everything else beside that.
Perfect fit for them too, Dalvin, because that'd be amazing too. All right, Rob, we got about 2 minutes here. We're at the 2 minutes, so we'll go ahead and set this up here, sir, for the OT portion. Talk about and then do fantasy shout-outs if you don't mind. We'll go to the OT portion. We'll kind of wrap this up.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we certainly appreciate you all for tuning in all across the globe. We thank you so much. We're getting ready to go to our OT portion. Unfortunately, we can't give you this portion of our show live, so click on the same link on tomorrow. We got more football. We got more draft. We might sneak in some basketball and baseball if we have time, but you don't want to miss our OT portion. Also, to our competitors in fantasy basketball, we appreciate everyone competing. Obviously, we're getting close to the All-Star break this coming weekend. The biggest win of the week was Ronald from New Orleans with the biggest win, Saints Pelicans 23, 7-1 over my co-host Andre in triple-double. He had the biggest win of the week. And yours truly, the Orleans Buck Jumpers, is still in first place with a 94-33-1 record. So those are the fantasy shout-outs in the week. Next week, how's Thursday night sound, fellas? Does that work for you?
It should.
Yeah, I think Thursday works. Yeah.
All right, there you have it. We'll be on the air next week on Thursday night. That's going to be February 23rd. 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're getting close to March Madness, people, so we got a lot to talk about. We got NFL Combine. We got NFL Draft. We're winding down the NBA season. We're going to have it all for you here at Talking Sports for the 12th Man. So make sure you follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook. Good night, people.
Thank you.
Hey, I got me a playoff spot this week, so I'm happy about that. Appreciate you, good people. Tune in. Talk to you later.
Good call. Yeah, man, I was pissed, man, because it seemed like I'm trying to hold on to players because I don't want to, like, I ain't getting rid of Chris Paul. He's still on the bench. He's been hurt. Like, what you call it, Garrett Gordon's game today. All these players and everyone's getting hurt, man, but that's okay. I'm going to figure this out. It's all good.
Yes, sir.
It's all good. Cutting folks, but it's, I'm trying to, like, keep – I'm trying to hold on the fight, man, but it'll be good. All right. We were talking about some offseason needs here. And I got my ship, so I'm not. I got my championship, so I'm not as focused. But it'll be fun. Let's talk about the Eagles here. The Eagles have surprisingly been a lot better after the fire sale with Chip Kelly, man. So Doug Peterson is right at the ship. Got some more talent back. Got the quarterback position set. So I would say, what do you think the Eagles need from this perspective? You know, right now, not that I'm a lot of love for the Eagles, but just kind of curious from your perspective, JQ, as far as what the Eagles need from there, from that portion.
Well, they've been linked to a reunion with DeSean Jackson, and the reason being, they need a wide receiver that can take the top off the defense. And they don't have that right now. Jordan Matthews is a good player. The other kid can't keep his head straight on. He got benched and just
Aguilar. Oh, wow. We thought he was going to be a good receiver, too. That's kind of crazy. But yeah, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, and they need that. I don't think Ryan Matthews is going to be the answer. I think they're going to need to be able to find the back. But luckily, finding the back in the draft is much easier to do, I think, than almost anything else. And I think they also need some help on the defensive side. They need some help in that secondary. Outside of McLeod playing safety for them, you know, they got McKelvin, who's really been a bust for them. I just don't think they have a secondary that can really hold water, especially when you guys, and I know Eli takes a bad rap, but you got Eli and you also got Dak. And he got Kirk, my favorite cousins, as well, if he gets re-signed there in Washington. So they need some help on that back end. But they're not as far away as we thought they were when we had this conversation last year. They've got some pieces, but I think it's doable to do in the offseason for them to, you know, kind of stay on the path they were on. I mean, they were, what, 3-0 or 5-0 or something to start the season and took everybody by storm with a rookie quarterback? I mean, they're not far away. They won't sneak up on anybody anymore, but they got some holes they got to fill. But they're not destitute by any stretch.
Yeah, go ahead, Rob. Your thoughts, man.
Yeah, I totally agree. Even though, you know, they have a couple of high picks at the wide receiver position, I still don't think they're done there yet. And actually, I have them taking Mike Williams in the first round from Clemson at the 15th spot.
Yeah.
And I think he has the potential to be an elite receiver at the next level as well. So, obviously, wide receiver was a position that I had number one on their board. I also haven't taken Alvin Kamara, the running back from Tennessee, in the second round. So those are a couple of things to help Carson Wentz going forward on that side of the ball. And defensively, particularly, I think they need corner at the defensive spot. Malcolm Jenkins has been phenomenal for him at the safety position.
Oh,
yeah. And I think going forward – I mean, those are the three positions that I kind of felt like they could really use some help. The wide receiver, running back, and also if you could improve your cornerback position there. But defensively, overall, they were pretty solid this past season, but they can still use some help at the corner position. And they can use some overall depth on defense, too.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to they don't have to find some depth on these mid to late rounds.
Good call. Let's talk about one of JQ's hated rivals, the Ravens here. Don't cry for me, for sure. Interesting season for them. But out of the gate, I'll let you take this, Robin. We'll let JQ kind of stew for a quick second. What do you think the Ravens need right now?
A lot like the Eagles. But they need skill position players on offense, Baltimore. They need running backs, they need wide receivers, they need tight ends. They have to improve the skill positions on offense. This is another team that I think will love to get Delvin Cook or Mike Williams there early in the draft. And also they desperately need cornerbacks on defense as well. So almost a lot like the Eagles when you look at their weaknesses. But right now, from the draft standpoint, obviously free agency could change a lot of things here. This is another team that would love to get Delvin Cook in the first round. So it's, I don't know if he'll get past the Colts at 14, but the Ravens are picking 16 unless they trade up for him. I know they're another team that really loves Cook and would love to have him. In the second round, as we mentioned earlier, they have Conley, the cornerback from Ohio State at 47, is who I have them taking in the second round. But they definitely need to improve their skill position players on offense.
I'm curious,
yeah,
about you. I'll
agree.
Let you get that in there too, JQ. Yeah, good, JQ. Yeah, good. Finish up.
Yeah, no, agree. They're a dumpster fire in the secondary, and that's just what they are. They got a really good front seven with that back end. If you can pick up that blitz and that pressure from that front seven, you can do some damage to that back end in Baltimore. I don't want to see them get any better, and I wonder if they would. I don't think Dalvin Cook gets passing in that way. I don't think he does. But I wonder.
Yep.
I remember the Ravens drafted Kenneth Dixon last year as well, and he was hurt to start the year, but he didn't play bad towards the middle to the end. I wonder if they're going to give him a full chance to actually be the guy if they would draft some more competition for him, given they drafted him last year, I think like the fifth round or something like that. But yeah, they got to get better at the skill positions. They, you know, losing Steve Smith is a big blow because he's had multiple hip surgeries. They got to get quicker and faster. I just hope that they don't. I'll just put that out there.
Quicker, faster. So, you know, we know what happened with Steve Smith Sr. He retired. Do you think they're going that route again, getting a veteran receiver? I mean, is like a Victor Cruz like an option? Or Rashad Jennings, you think? Or are they just going to go like all the draft that?
Kenny Brett?
That's per.
Both of those guys are washed up. They're not going to help anybody unless you. But those are the two guys that are going to have to stay in shape and maybe hope for a mid-season signing kind of play, you know, if teams have injuries or something like that.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, I was thinking more of a veteran presence, but good call. Okay, I got you.
Our Garcon is out there. Kenny Britt.
Yeah, but like you said,
I Kenny Britt, I think
like
he could help some teams.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough. All right, we got about 8-9 minutes here. Let's talk quickly about the top linebackers in this year's draft. I don't know, Rob, you made an emphasis on inside or outside linebacker or just top linebacker, so I'll kind of roll with that too, sir. So go ahead.
A little bit of both. Right now I have Reuben Foster. I think most scouts believe he can play a weak side or the middle linebacker position. It can be a three-down guy. And so he's a number one linebacker at the moment. Number two, Zach Cunningham, linebacker from Vanderbilt. You know, all you got to do is turn over the film of a Vanderbilt game. And it's easy for him to shine on that team because they don't have any other talent. But he's obviously he's 6'4". He's very lanky. I mean, that is one concern from NFL scouts. He's 6'4", 230 pounds. But a guy is everywhere on the football field. And but right now I have him going. Let's see. Where I have Cunningham going? I am going 24.
What's that, JQ?
He shows up and then got another child on the field. Come on, man.
Shot the fire.
That's a
bill.
I'm sorry.
Hey, baby, you got to call it
like
you see it, right?
My bad.
But yeah,
I
am going 24 to Oakland at the moment. Number three, Hassan Reddick, a guy who a lot of people don't know or aware of, linebacker from Temple. And they use this guy all over the field. They have him rushing a passer. I project him more as an inside guy to a weak side guy in the NFL. He's got really good speed. And he's definitely a three-down linebacker who can also cover as well. So whoever gets him is going to get a steal. I am going 36 to the Bears in the second round. Number four, Jabril Peppers, although I think overall he's probably going to get moved to safety. In the NFL, I think he's probably more of a strong safety, probably a guy that can move down the linebacker in the passing situations. So he's a real interesting player here. You know, right now I have him falling to the second round, to 37, to the Los Angeles Rams, just because he's a little bit of a tweener. And number five, I have outside linebacker Carl Lawson from Auburn, a guy who can also rush the passer as well. Right now, 38 to the Los Angeles Chargers. Still got to use the same.
Terrible. Yeah. Your call. Go ahead, JQ.
Yeah, I just go with the five that I like. I mean, they might not be the best in the scouts, but, you know, I know Rob is going to cover that, so I'm going to go with what I like. I mean, I like Foster as well. I mean, I know I'm not super sold on him, but I would like him at the right price. Not as high in the first round, but, you know, lower down, you know, for good value. And his teammate Anderson, that Alabama defense,
yeah.
They play from a defensive-minded coach in Saban. They know what work ethic is about and what a hard practice is about. And I think that helps them translate. I'm going to go to LSU for Beckwith. I think he's going to be a stud for real. If LSU could get a freaking quarterback, they would be ridiculous because they just churn out wide receivers and defensive players like nobody's business. And I'm not a Tiger fan. I'm sorry, Rob, but, you know, they got a lot of talent. You got to give them credit where credit is due. I'm going to go with the chef from Ohio.
They just signed 2 4-star QBs. Hopefully they hit on one of them.
Yeah, if I had a quarterback, that'd be dangerous. Raekwon McMillan, he doesn't have a lot of athleticism for Ohio State, but that dude is just a missile in the middle, and he's very smart. He's going to be a good captain for one of those teams. He's just going to quietly go out there and get the job done. And last but not least, I like Reese Maven from Tennessee. I don't understand with all the talent that Tennessee had. You talk about a Maven, you talk about a Barry, you talk about a Sutton, how they just weren't better. They weren't consistent in Tennessee defensive-wise. They had a ton of individual talent on that defense. So those are my five are the linebackers I think that can go to the next level and make an impact.
Yeah, I think the two, Raekwon McMillan from Ohio State and Kendall Beckwith. Kendall Beckwith obviously ended the season with an injury. It's going to hurt him a little bit. So, but he could possibly definitely, he and McMillan, I think, are two guys that can really help some teams in the middle round in this draft that could be steals. So those are good points.
Mm-hmm. Bring him home. Bring him to Atlanta. Let's talk more or less about, I'm giving.
I
want to
see no more of these LSU players making plays for these Falcons, man. They almost make me
throw
up.
I like Tack McKinney too a little bit too. I got another guy I like too. You said Tim Williams from Alabama too, man. So there's a couple good players out there too that we're keeping an eye on as well for the outside linebacker. So it's a pretty deep draft, guys. So corners. We'll talk about that too. We get all Rob's opinion on that too, as far as where we're at, as far as. Is it more of a better what player we think is the deepest, and we'll get close to once the combine comes out as far as that as well too. So, all right, guys, we've got 4 minutes here. I guess really quickly, I want to talk about a lot of things here. I want to talk about OKC fans, what they did last night against Kevin Durant with the cupcake. That was crazy. And
that was
we'll talk about it too. So I don't know if you went. That was hilarious. Both sides of that too, man. But it looks like the Warriors got the last laugh with that, man. So it's crazy, man. So. I don't know if you want to talk about it really quickly. I thought that was nuts. But that's your quick thing, and then we'll get ready to wrap up the show because we got literally 3 minutes here. So your topic, to say anything you want, I'm going to throw it to JQ first and then let Rob do it and end the show. So anything you want to talk about from this kind of new thing I'm doing here. But, yeah, go ahead.
I got to talk about Oak Tree. Man, you can't treat him like that. He's a living New York legend. And, if they had just went and tapped him on the shoulder like, can we talk to you for a second? One guy – Dolan wants to see you in the back for a minute, It would have been so much easier to squash it. But to roll him up on him, that dude's from Cleveland, son. You can't roll up on that dude with 7 little short dudes. He was like, what? Get off me, little dude. You just can't do that, New York. And then they said that, that he has a substance abuse and he gets the help that he needs. It was just an all-around, just a bad, bad look by the Knicks. It was really a black eye. I think they hit bottom.
And then also you messed up like future stuff for any like people that want to go to the Knicks. Man, that's terrible, man. If you want to if you're a free agent, you're looking at that like that's not an organization I want to play for. So you talk about striking out on all levels, man. So just like you said, bad call, New York, and you ban him for life. That's nuts, man. So anyway, that's dead to the legend. Go ahead, Rob. Open topic. I'm leaving that open towards the end of every show.
Well, I think that was a good topic, but I'll just add my little 2 cents. I know we're getting ready to end the show. But then you bring Latrell Sprewell and Grandma Ma sit on the sidelines.
Yes. Yes. That was bad.
I mean, you bring the Chokester and Grandma Ma to sit down
PJ
on the sideline, on courtside seats. It's a rubbing in Oakley's face. I mean, come on, James Dolan. The Knicks are just a debacle of an organization right now. They're just a debacle of an organization right now. And I obviously, I was a big Grandma Ma fan. They got to make that. They got to get that right. And obviously, they're bringing Michael Jordan in as a mediator, a guy who never played for the Knicks. He just killed the Knicks on the court on a regular basis. But anyway, that's all. It's the whole organization is a debacle. But, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back on the air next Thursday night. February 23rd, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I apologize, I'm losing my voice a little bit tonight. Hopefully be a little better next week. So join us on Thursday night next week. We got a lot to talk about, people. Good night.
Thank
you. Yeah, man, that's that red Creole. That red Creole. drink the water with that boy. Appreciate all y'all listening to us.
I just got to get back to New Orleans and have a little gumbo in my life.
Hey, you got